Take your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter, and we'll be in chapter 1. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 9. I will read the odd verses, and you will join me on the even verses as we take a look at 2 Peter and chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In our lives as believers, God has for us a purpose. And having a life with purpose is a wonderful thing. No purpose means no hope. Purpose means hope. And I think in our world today, we could use a little more hope. Amen? Certainly speaking in that fashion. As Peter comes to write this book of the Bible, we see him salute the Christians and admonishing them of the gifts and promises that God has provided through the gospel. And may I say to you that that is really the only way we have any hope at all is through the gospel. Right. Through what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And the simple title of this message today is that, and the title is Abound. Abound, because in verse 8, he says, for if these things... That means the previous things he's been talking about shall be, or if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, recently we talked about faith. And we've even, throughout the year, back in April, we talked about the foundation of our faith. Last week, we talked about growing our faith. And in the summertime, over back in June, over the time that we had at senior camp, we talked about adding to our faith. And so a lot of these things are hinged on faith. But can I tell you something? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is critical. Faith is important. It's something that we must pay attention to. Number one, we must pay attention to it so that we can be saved. We've got to. And once we're saved, we've got to pay attention to it so we can be what God wants us to be as a believer in Christ. So this thing of faith is so critical to the Christian. And not only, like I said before, God did not save us just to sit around and do nothing. God has not just saved us so that we can go to heaven. He saved us so that we can serve him with our lives. You understand that last week we talked about that we are bought with a price. We are not our own. We are not to live our lives for our own benefit, but for his. Because it's through faith that we've obtained favor of the Lord. And as Peter begins here, he writes to the Christians, and he says to them, he says, Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as if we look ahead to verse 8, we see that these things are supposed to be in us. This faith is supposed to be in us. And it's not only supposed to be in us, it's supposed to abound. But can I tell you something? You cannot have a great quantity of, great plenty of, be filled with, teeming with, flourishing with, overflowing with, swarming with, unless you have it. Got to have it. You have to have it to have those things happen to you and in you. You see, in order to abound, there has to be a starting point. There has to be a starting point. You must obtain like precious faith with us in order to get to the place where you abound. You see, this is the beginning point of life. We understand that in the physical realm, life begins at conception. Everybody understand? We're fighting this battle. We have been fighting this battle for many years about this thing of abortion and when life begins. Okay, but spiritual life begins at conception, if you will. When you are born again by the Spirit of God. When you are born again through salvation, and salvation is purely 100% and only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Simon Peter says that this like precious faith is obtained through righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me just warn you. There's a message on that coming up soon. Because as I was reading that and I was just studying that, I'm like, that's a good message. Kind of 3 points all right there. We can get that going. And so that's on the back burner, just as a precursor there. But can I tell you something? Jesus is the way. And we must obtain this like precious faith through Jesus Christ. We have over and over again read Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Not John 5. 1 John 5. This is right before the end of the Bible, near the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. It's actually right after here. 2 Peter. So just a few pages. All right. 1 John and chapter 5. We're talking about the starting point is salvation. Look at verse 10. It says here that he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Hey, I don't think it could get any more cut and dry than that. If you have the Son of God, you have life. If you have not the Son of God, you have not life. It is that simple. It is very simple. And Peter says to these that he's writing to, he says that you have obtained, this is written to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says back in 1 John 5, he that these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This thing of abounding, this thing of having great quantity, being in great plenty, to be filled with, teeming, flourishing, and overflowing, and swarming with, has to have a beginning point. May I quote Jesus and simply say, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Listen, you have to be born of the flesh and born of the spirit. You got to have two births in order to only see death once. If you only have one birth, you're going to see death twice. You understand that? That if you are only born in the flesh, you are not only going to die a physical death, you are also going to die a spiritual death. That is the consequence. For by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You understand that there's a condemnation for our sin. That condemnation is hell. And those that do not have this like precious faith, that have not obtained this favor with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, will spend eternity in a place called hell. That's the consequence for sin. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. God wants us to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You understand that God wants us to have eternal life. God wants us to have everlasting life. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means he's taken our place. He's taken our place. And if we'll be like the thief on the cross and just simply look to him and say, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. He will. He will. Listen, has there been a time that you understood you were a sinner? That you did not deserve heaven? That you deserved hell? And you understood that because of your poor estate, that you were not going to spend eternity with God in heaven because of your sin? And you looked up to heaven and you looked up to God and you said, God, I need a Savior. I need someone to pay for my sin. I need someone to take away my sin. And you looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, you're the Savior. You've lived the perfect life. You came to this earth. You gave yourself on the cross. You died and you rose again. And I want you to be my Savior. You understand when that thief was on that cross, he admitted his guiltiness. He told the other man, he said, hey, stop yelling at Jesus. We deserve what we're getting here, folks. He said, hey man, you need to be quiet. This man has done nothing wrong, and we have done so much. We deserve this. And then he looked at Jesus and simply said, Lord. You know what it means to when you look at Jesus and say, Lord? It means you're giving up everything. You're giving up everything. And he realized that there was no way he could make it to heaven on his own. But that the very Son of God was likewise being crucified right next to him. And he acknowledged that Jesus was Lord. And that Jesus was the one who was going to make entrance to heaven possible. When thou comest into thy kingdom, Lord, remember me. He simply acknowledged it. He had a starting point to his life. And unfortunately, he didn't get to carry on. Because he died there. But can I tell you something? We who have had the opportunity to carry on after salvation, we have that opportunity. And we ought to make the most of that opportunity that we possibly can. It starts with salvation. We have got to understand that we must obtain this like precious faith through Jesus Christ. Peter goes on to say, look back at verse 2 in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Again, we have that possession that Jesus is our Lord, because we've accepted his gift of eternal life. He says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You understand that we have a life to live. We've been afforded all things that pertain to life and godliness. So if we're going to be successful in abounding in our lives as a believer, we first must be saved. And secondly, we must grow. We must grow. Well, don't you remember that the Bible tells us that as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We're supposed to grow. I think I've said this before, that if I were to, one of the young ladies up here was my daughter Anna, my oldest, the one over on this side. She just turned 17 this summer. Wouldn't it be a little strange to you if I were to bring a small child about this big and be able to hold her in my arms? And I want to say to you, I want to introduce to you my oldest daughter, Anna. Isn't she lovely? Right? She's sweet. And you all would say, have the same thought. What is wrong with her? Especially when I tell you she's 17 years old. Right? Yeah, she's only 20-some inches long and a couple, 10 pounds or whatever and such and so forth. You say, I'm sorry, Pastor, is there something wrong with her? Because isn't it a little odd for a 17-year-old to be that size? Yeah, more than a little odd. Yes. So then why, dear Christian, is it not odd for you to be still a baby Christian after so many years? That should be odd. We're supposed to grow. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Back in our text, we understand that as he goes on, he says this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge patience, and to temperance, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. What is adding to something? Isn't that making it grow? Yes, I mean, when we add inches to our waistline, we're growing, right? That's good, right? Oh no, it's not good. Okay. I have this problem. I have a 16-year-old son, and he just keeps growing. His age matches his shoe size. Yeah. I'm not 12 anymore, folks. But listen, and he keeps getting taller, and I keep having to buy new pants for him, and new shirts, and new clothing, and new shoes, and all this stuff. Why? You said because he's wearing them out? No, because he's growing out of them. What have you grown out of? Has God had to buy you some new clothes? Or are you still in the same ones that you've always had? Interesting, isn't it? Maybe a little convicting, I hope. You say, Preacher, you weren't supposed to step on my toes today. Why not? Not a very good dancer. Okay, some of you smile. Thank you very much. You understand, we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance and to temperance patience and to patience godliness and to godliness brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound. So what's the prerequisite? They've got to be in you. You've got to have faith to add to your faith virtue. You understand? There's got to be a starting point, but there's also got to be a growing point. Now listen, I'm not going to take the time to develop all of these thoughts because we've already done this back in June. But can I tell you something? We've got to learn to grow. We must grow. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You understand that God wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to grow. And you know what? He's going to either purge us, and he's going to clip away at us here and there, and maybe round off some edges here and do this there. Why? So we can bear more fruit. Listen, if you have a plant that comes back year after year, right? That's a perennial, isn't it? Okay? Comes back year after year. What do you do to make it develop and grow and have what it needs? Right? Yeah. Clippy, clippy, clippy. Right? Why? Why? Because you don't like the plant? No, because you want the plant to flourish. You want it to abound. So you clip away at it. Here and there and there and there and there. And you do that so that it bears more fruit and much fruit, and because that's the whole point. And it, God wants us, listen, sometimes clipping and stuff, it maybe isn't pleasant to us, but listen, if it's not happening to you, there's a problem. There's a problem. And we need to make sure that we're growing. We're studying and we're serving God, and we're getting to the place where we are utilizing what God has given us, because he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. Hey. He's given it to you. Grow by the sincere milk of the word. That's what we're supposed to do. Study to show ourselves approved unto God. He hasn't left us in the dark. Hey, and let me tell you something. I'm not the only one that has this ability.
You're the pastor.
Okay, I guess I'm on this phrase today. Big whoop-de-dink. Okay. Who really cares? I'm just like you, folks. I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you. And can listen, I can study the Bible just like you can. We need to grow. Not just because a preacher says so, but because you know so for yourselves. We need to grow. Are you searching the scriptures daily, whether these things are so? Or are you just taking my word for it?
Well, you look like a trustworthy guy.
No, I do endeavor to be a trustworthy guy. But that's beside the point. I'm a human being just like anybody else is. God wants us to grow. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to grow so that we can abound. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. I hope you did mark your place today. Now, we've talked about our faith, the foundation of our faith. We've talked about adding to our faith. We've talked about the growing of our faith and all these things to the point that we can overflow, to the point that we can have great plenty and be filled with and teeming and swarming and flourishing, and the production of the fruit of our life is so much, if you will, that breaks the nets, as happened to the disciples. That there are 12 basketfuls of leftovers of our life. Do you understand that just having just enough is not the way God operates? Our God's an abounding God. He's an overflowing God. He's a God that wants to give us more than we need. He's an excess God. He wants us to have above measure these things. Listen, he doesn't want to just string us out on rice and beans, folks. He wants to have us to have lobster tails and steak. And all those things. I'm for all that. How many of you are hungry? Don't worry, it's almost lunchtime. Now I know where you're going for lunch. Okay? A little surf and turf. Sounds good to me. Listen, I'm just telling you. God wants us to abound. You ever see how around a beehive there's a swarm of bees, right? What is it that you see when there's all that buzziness? I did that on purpose. Action, right? Activity, life. It's just, and then if you get them mad, they come after you, and that's not good. But listen, isn't that the way it is? When you think of a school of fish, right? And it's just a frenzy. Why shouldn't the Christian life be that way? It should. That's what God wants, and that's what the focus is for the message today. And listen, I spent a lot of time on the introduction. We've gone over many of these things before. But in order to abound, you've got to have a starting point. And you've got to have the growing point. Because if there's no beginning and there's no growth, you can't, you won't, will not, cannot abound. It's not going to happen. We need it to happen. It must happen if we're going to be what God wants us to be. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and as you turn there, I'll read to you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Remember what Peter said. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Are you there in 2 Timothy? Look at chapter 2 and look at verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You know what this is? This is an abounding Christian. This is someone who is purposed, who is set apart, who is meet for the master's use, who is ready to be used by God because he has been saved and because he has grown to a point that he can abound in his life. God wants us to abound. We are supposed to be a branch that bears fruit. And as it's purged, and it bears more fruit, and purged again, so it bears more fruit. That's abounding. And that's what God has purposed for us, to be a vessel unto honor. Because we've been sanctified, and set apart, and prepared to every good work that God has for us. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, we exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Not less and less. More and more. I think I've already expressed to you that our God is an abounding God. Our God wants more and more and more and more and more. Not less and less and less and less and less. Hey, aren't we told that as we see the day approaching, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the less. Huh? No? So much the more. Hey, listen. Is his coming evident? Can you see it? It may happen in our lifetime, folks. It may. So we should have more church, not less church. Right? Yeah, you know, one of the wonderful things about the invention of graham crackers, melted chocolate, and toasted marshmallows. You know why they named them that? Because when you eat them, you want s'more, not s'less. Right? Yeah. I want s'more, not s'less. We don't serve s'lesses. Christians aren't supposed to be s'lesses. They're supposed to be s'mores. Yeah. You see, that's a silly illustration. I know it is, but it made you think about it. So it worked. God wants us to have more. He wants us to abound in every good work. Which He wants us to walk, and then He wants us to run. Aren't we supposed to run the race with patience? Yeah. Hey, listen, He said, you did run well. Who had hindered you? Who hindered you from running well? You're supposed to run. Listen, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. But then we're supposed to run, folks. That's more, not less. We're not supposed to go backwards and start crawling and then start just standing there. Listen, we're supposed to, as a baby develops, it just kind of, when it's born, it just kind of sits there, right? Then it starts to do this. Then it whoop, flips over, right? And it does those things. You say, how do you know? I've experienced this 11 times. I know how it works. And I'm about to experience it again. Hey, listen, I'm just telling you. Then they go through that process, right? Where they start doing push-ups. I think I need to do a few more of those, probably. But you know, they push themselves up, right? And then they get their little feet under, and then they start doing this rocking thing. What are they doing? They're growing. Well, they've been born. Now they're growing. And then they kind of pull themselves up along furniture and things like that that they can reach. And then all of a sudden they kind of just let go, and they just kind of and they get back up again, right? And then they start doing this. We call them what? Toddlers, yeah. There's a whole reason for that, right? They go through this process. And it's not long, especially in my house, it's not long that they're doing this. And then well, why do they do that? Because they're developing. They're growing more and more and more and more and more. And then we have to tell them not to run in the house. But listen, this is how it's supposed to be with us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul was encouraging the people in Corinth. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For he preached not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your servants, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Didn't God command us to be like a light that's set on a hill, and our gospel be not hid? We're supposed to let our light so shine before men. You know what that is? That's abounding. You know what makes a lighthouse? Reflecting light. Jesus is the light. And we're supposed to reflect the light so that the light pours out of us. What is that? That's abounding. It's overflowing. It's coming out of us to the degree that we have more than we can hold. And the world needs to see that light. We understand that God is an abounding God. Remember what he told the woman at the well? He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting. You know what happens when a well of water springs up? It overflows. Flows out. Spills on other people. And that's what your salvation is supposed to do. It's supposed to spill out on other people. It's supposed to abound. You understand that we're supposed to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable. God wants us to abound. He wants us to be overflowing onto others. God wants us to please God and abound more and more. And further, in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how to ought to walk in to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Go back to 1 Peter. As we have obtained like precious faith, we've been born again by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. We're supposed to add to our faith the things that make us so that we can abound in every good work. Once again, take a look at verse 8 and the warning in verse 9. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we all should want to be. That's where we all should be endeavoring to be. To be and come to a point that we as believers in Christ can abound unto every good work. But then the warning. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Remember the warning that Jesus gave back in John. He said that if you choose not to abide, be cut off. Be cut off. He said, every branch that in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So they gather them up and cast them into the fire and they're burned. For without me, you can do nothing. Hey, listen, folks. God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want that end for us. He wants us to bear more fruit and much fruit. He wants us to abound more and more, not less and less. Just simply today, an encouragement to you that have obtained like precious faith. God wants you to grow. God wants you to abound. For those of you that have not obtained that like precious faith, today can be the day of salvation for you. If you'll simply come to Jesus as a sinner, lost and undone, and call out and cry out to him, repenting of your sins and coming to the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, you can be saved today. And you can begin that growing process, and you can begin that abounding process in your life.